Arajaka, being without a king. Bayat, out of fear, Asia, this Vena, Krita, was made, Raja, the king, Atat Arhana, though not qualified for it, Tata, from him, Api, also, Asit, there was, Bhayam, danger, Tu, then, Adya, now, Katam, how, Syat, can there be, Swasti, happiness, Dehinam, of the people in general. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thinking, translation. Thinking to save the state from irregularity, the sages began to consider that it was due to a political crisis that they made Vena king, although he was not qualified. But alas, now the people were being disturbed by the king himself. Under such circumstances, how could the people be happy? Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 5, it is stated that even in the renounced order, one should not give up sacrifice, charity and penance. The brahmacharis must perform sacrifices, the grihasthas must give in charity, and those in the renounced order of life, the vanaprasthas and sannyasis, must practice penance and austerities. These are the procedures by which everyone can be elevated to the spiritual platform. When the sages and saintly persons saw that King Vena had stopped all these functions, they became concerned about the people's progress. Saintly people preach God consciousness or Krishna consciousness because they are anxious to save the general populace from the dangers of animalistic life. There must be a good government to see that the citizens are actually executing their religious rituals, and thieves and rogues must be curbed. When this is done, the people can advance peacefully in spiritual consciousness and make their lives successful. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mahyam Dadati Swapaduntikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamin Tinamine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damadaya Nagaragramitharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Paranadana Dase Itinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Tinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Aschatya Deshitarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yatkripatamaham bande shri gurudantarinam yatkripatamaham bande paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram katanchana smrite yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavet smrite vipritam syat shri chaitanyam namamitam. So here, in this chapter, the 14th chapter, what we prominently see is the concern of the sages for the welfare of the people in general. So actually, this is the prime responsibility of a king in Vedic civilization. He's supposed to tend to the welfare of his citizens. Now, what kind of welfare does that refer to? Prabhupada explains earlier that in the earlier days, the kings used to be Rajarishis. So they had 8 kinds of opulences, as the Bhagavatam mentioned, the 8 kinds of mystic perfections, because they practiced sense control, they practiced spiritual life, and being qualified by virtue of their practice, they're called Rajarishis, and they're qualified, and so they can tend to the welfare of the citizens in the right manner. And what does this welfare refer to? This welfare exclusively refers to the spiritual advancement of the people. So the king's duty to arrange his kingdom, arrange the activities in his kingdom in such a manner that its citizens can practice spiritual life nicely, progress very nicely, and go back to God. This is the actual responsibility of a king. So the upper boat, you know, chapter 2, text 3, Srila Prabhupada captures this whole point succinctly. So I thought I'll just read that. So it's the whole point of welfare of citizens is very nicely enunciated by Prabhupada here in this purport. Prabhupada writes, "The king, or in modern times, the government, should act as the guardian of the citizens by teaching them the proper goal of life. The human form of life is especially meant for realization of oneself and one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because this cannot be realized in animal life. The duty of the government, therefore, is to take charge of training all the citizens in such a way that by a gradual process they will be elevated to the spiritual platform and will realize the self and his relationship with God." So we see clearly that Prabhupada is mentioning that it is the duty of a proper king or a proper government to ensure that people don't remain in animal life, that people are elevated to the spiritual platform, and Prabhupada writes, and will realize the self and his relationship with God. Then he writes, "This principle was followed by kings like Maharaj Yudhishthira, Maharaj Parikshit, Lord Ramachandra, Maharaj Ambarish, and Prahlad Maharaj. The leaders of government must be very honest and religious, because otherwise all the affairs of the state will suffer. Unfortunately, in the name of democracy, rogues and thieves are electing other rogues and thieves to the most important posts in the government." So here we see the same expression, thieves and rogues, because we saw in the text 8, the Bhagavatam mentions, similarly at the time of King Vena, people in general were in a dangerous position due to an irresponsible king on one side and thieves and rogues on the other. So the king was irresponsible because he was not bothered about ensuring that his subjects are promoted to a higher plane of spiritual consciousness. So that is one problem. And another problem was there were thieves and rogues. So there is a problem from two directions. So here in the modern context, there is no question of irresponsible king, but rather the government itself has become filled with rogues and thieves. That's exactly what Prabhupada is mentioning. So it is one package. It is not two separate things, an irresponsible king and some thieves and rogues, but rather one package where the government itself is filled with the rogues and thieves. So, unfortunately, Prabhupada writes, "In the name of democracy, rogues and thieves are electing other rogues and thieves to the most important posts in the government. Recently, this has been proven in America, where the president had to be condemned and dragged down by his post, from his post, by the citizens. This is only one case, but there are many others. Because of the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement, People should be Krishna conscious and should not vote for anyone who is not Krishna conscious. That's interesting because Bengal is now going to vote, and Prabhupada writes that people should be Krishna conscious and should not vote for anyone who is not Krishna conscious. Then a Vaishnava sees mismanagement in the government, he feels great compassion in his heart and tries his best to purify the situation by spreading the Hare Krishna movement. So, we see earlier in the purport that Prabhupada writes that spiritual life cannot be realized in animal life. And we saw yesterday how Premanjana Prabhu in his class mentioned that in the modern civilization, people are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. So people are on the animal platform, and the leaders are also on the animal platform. So the Bhagavatam mentions Swavit Varahostra Karei Purusha Pashu. Purusha Pashu means a man who is as good as an animal. And then it says Gadagraja. Gadagraja is refers to Krishna, who is the deliverer of all evils. So people who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses, which is the most of modern civilization, praise others who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. And they're not interested in glorifying the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna, who is referred to as Gadag, the deliverer from all evils. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada brings out very important points. He says, Srimad Bhagavatam's categorization of the common man without any spiritual enlightenment into the society of dogs, hogs, camels and asses is not at all an exaggeration. Please note that Prabhupada is mentioning that this is not at all an exaggeration. The leaders of such ignorant masses of people may feel very proud of being adored by such a number of dogs and hogs, but that is not very flattering. The Bhagavatam openly declares that although a person may be a great leader of such dogs and hogs disguised as men, if he has no taste for being enlightened in the signs of Krishna, such a leader is also an animal and nothing more. He may be designated as a powerful, strong animal or a big animal, but in the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is never given a place in the category of man on account of his atheistic temperament. Or in other words, such godless leaders of dogs and hog-like men are bigger animals with the qualities of animals in greater proportion. So, this is a very clear point that we have to, first of all, to solve a problem, the first thing is to identify and understand the problem. So the Bhagavatam clearly defines what the problem is, and Prabhupada, without mincing words, brings it out very clearly. This is the problem. And we saw in the earlier purport, Prabhupada writes how even the leaders are being dragged down. He referred to one incident in America where the president was dragged down. And if we see in the last year in India, the whole year was filled with various scams, one after the other. So much so that about a month ago, some people were so agitated by this whole scam, one after the other, that they began a movement called the anti-corruption movement. Now we may think, oh, this is a very nice thing, let us stop corruption. So at least something is happening. But this is another feature of the illusory energy, because none of these leaders who are trying to promote this anti-corruption have got anything to do with God consciousness. They're trying to solve this problem from a mundane point of view. Therefore, according to the Bhagavatam, these solution providers are also no better than hogs, dogs, camels and asses. So, as Prabhupada mentions, the real solution is, when a Vaishnava sees mismanagement in the government, he feels great compassion in his heart and tries his best to purify the situation by spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So this is the real solution. And unless one understands this point, all things are bound to fail. Once Prabhupada asked Satsurup Maharaj to write this book. All things fail without Krishna. And Maharaj did write it eventually. So this was Prabhupada's repeatedly emphasized this. Please understand that any of your schemes will not succeed, not just for non-devotees. Prabhupada told us, even told that even for devotees, that we should remember that none of our schemes also will work unless we are trying to please Krishna with those schemes. We cannot solve a mundane problem with a mundane solution. The solution to a mundane problem or a spiritual problem is Krishna consciousness. It's not that for a mundane problem we do have some solutions. No. The actual solution is Krishna consciousness. We may have some secondary solutions which are corollaries to the primary solution of Krishna consciousness, which go hand in hand. But without the primary solution, these other solutions are of no use. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you'd say that the present civilization is a civilization of the cheaters and the cheated. And Prabhupada, in the pastime of Varahadev, brings out the point that the whole modern civilization is based on drilling oil. So the whole skyscraper, automobiles, whatever you see is driven by oil. And Prabhupada writes that as long as this oil drilling continues, there is danger that the earth can be displaced from its orbit. It's just like the story of Kalidas. Kalidas was once cutting the branch of a tree, sitting on a tree, cutting the branch of a tree. I think it was Kalidas. So then somebody told him, hey, you're going to fall down if you do this. And he said, no, I'm doing my work. So he continuously went on cutting. After some time, he fell down along with the branch. And then after falling down, he thought, oh, that man who told me this, he must be a great astrologer. He knew about this. Anyway, astrology is not the point, but the foolishness of here, of course, astrology is another point which Prabhupada makes in a different context, but here what the point I'm trying to bring about is, okay, we may be trying to advance, but it's just like the cutting off the branch of the tree. So we're trying to drill oil, but the whole population is being driven to hell by that, literally driven to hell, because once the earth is displaced, then you need an incarnation of the Lord to restore the earth. So that is the situation with modern day leaders. Now, are the political leaders the only leaders in the world today who are thinking about people's welfare? Yes, they're primarily the ones who are supposed to be responsible, but then there are others also who assume that role. So we have in that category the scientists. Now they're trying to benefit humanity, you know. So previously we had this problem, you know, we want a child who's got certain characteristics, who's got certain qualities. But unfortunately, the child that may be born to us may not be exactly to our liking. So now the scientists are going to save us. They've created genetic engineering. They've discovered genetic engineering. So now you can fill out a form. I mean, that's what they're proposing in future. You fill out a form. I want a child. This quality. And they will create a child. It's called engineering. So they're trying to benefit humanity. They're trying to do welfare work for humanity by creating such a situation. But primarily, if you look at it, it is basically demoniac, because as Kaunteya Prabhu brought out, I mean, most of this technology will ultimately be employed by people for selfish reasons. In fact, the very concept of having a child exactly according to your liking is actually selfish. Why? Our proper teachers, every individual soul is unique. So why try to artificially create these kind of situations? And Prabhupada writes, as you try to do more and more of these things, the more and more you get complicated in the intricacies of material nature. So ultimately, this is driven by selfish motive. So then there is the other thing. Okay, India is a backward country, or so many other countries, the third world countries are all, I mean, suffering because the farmers are using all, I mean, archaic, very redundant systems of agriculture. So then we have, to our rescue, the scientists have been able to create certain seeds which can produce extremely high yield. But the beauty of these seeds is that they cannot reproduce. You know, they can produce extremely good crops, so-called crops, but you cannot sow the seeds again. From whatever crop seeds you get from the crops, you cannot sow them again. So there is Monsanto, which is trying to introduce this across the world. And as Kaunteya Prabhu mentioned in this class, that this is responsible for a large number of farmer suicides. Because what happens is, at great, these seeds are expensive, because you see, it's benefiting humanity, so it costs a lot. So the problem is, once you sow them, and then you get your yield, and after that, what do you do again? You have to buy them again. So it gets into a debt cycle. You get into a debt cycle, and finally the only recourse is commit suicide. So the scientists, you see, they're trying to benefit humanity. So this is how they try to benefit humanity, because they're not thinking of the spiritual welfare. They're only thinking in terms of their own selfish motives, and that is exploited by the corporations and other companies. And eventually, all this is leading to a hellish situation. But there is one good thing about, I wouldn't say good thing, it is like Prabhupada said, make the best use of a bad bargain. So, it is interesting that Prabhupada said in Life Comes From Life, in that book, in his conversations, he said that in 20-30 years, all this Darwinism, this will be exposed. People from the scientific establishment will expose all this Darwinism, this foolishness of this atheism will be exposed. And rightly so, based on the so-called advances made in biotechnology and other areas, there is a whole group of people called the intelligent design theorists who have come up with extremely valuable contributions trying to establish that the universe has a designer. Of course, they don't go further to speak about the designer as a person or whatnot, and the other things, but they definitely come up with this explanation that the universe has a universe has a designer. And these are not people who can be easily discredited, because you see, the problem with the scientific establishment is, if you sit at home and write a paper and try to come up with theories, or try to, whatever you try to establish, it's not accepted seriously, because who are you? You're not a qualified, who are you to speak to us? So the interesting phenomenon about this intelligent design movement is scientists from the universities who are very, very highly qualified. About a year ago, I was in Govardhan, and somebody gave me a book called Signature in the Cell. It's written by Stephen Mayer, who works for Microsoft, but who's got a PhD. And this is an extremely well-written and rigorous work, establishing that just like information, you see, information, the moment you say information, somebody is conveying information. And information, how can information be impersonal? Information can only be conveyed by intelligent beings. So based on information processes in the cell, Stephen Mayer tries to establish that the universe has a designer. It's a very big book. And I remember when I was in Govardhan at that time, somebody said, okay, you're in Govardhan, but you're reading this book? You should be reading about some Krishna's pastimes. But then I said, no, we belong to the Saraswata line, to the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and our line is interested in naughtiness, right? We should also defeat all these false theories. All these false theories propounded by the modern leaders, by the atheists, by the scientists, all these people. So this gives pleasure. Prabhupada is very happy. In fact, as I mentioned in a previous class, he mentioned that the more you kick out Darwin, the more you make spiritual advancement. So it is a very good thing if it pleases your acharya to do this, to defeat all the opposing philosophies, to expose the fallacies of other things. So Prabhupada is very happy when somebody did work which established the supremacy of God. So that's the scientists. Then you have the Mayavadis. Well, I don't think that I need to speak much on that, because you're very familiar with Prabhupada's statement about Mayavadis. So it is common that the Mayavadis often try to disguise their philosophy by trying to do a lot of welfare activities.